All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
This week on Double Tap, inside the launch of Republic on PS4.
Must be extra vigilant. Keep a watchful eye out for our Republic.
My tip for anyone going to play episode 5 would be there's branching paths.
Please, I need your help. I don't have much time.
Hello and welcome to Double Tap. You may have noticed we released our episode early. It's partially because we just couldn't wait to get another episode out to you, but also because Republic hits PS4 today, and we chatted to the man behind the transition from mobile to console about what you can expect from the reformed game and episode 5 released in tandem. Later on in the show, a look at voice actor Jessica DeChicco's work from when we caught up with her at MCM Comic Con. First, Paul Alexander, the PS4 project lead on Republic.
Good evening, citizens of Metamorphosis. As we make our final preparations, we must be extra vigilant. Keep a watchful eye out for our Republic. And in return, we'll watch over you.
Please, I need your help. I don't have much time.
Republic is an incredible narrative-driven game inspired by the political atmosphere of surveillance and paranoia that kind of surrounds the daily news, and just the whole idea of us living in an internet age where everything we look at and read and say is constantly being monitored.
Tell people, what they can expect from episode 5.
Episode 5 is something that we've been obviously building towards for a very long time. Republic's been in development for a lot longer than we initially conceived of. It's been in development for over 4 years, and a lot's changed about the game and the story and the path of the player, have taken along the way, but there are moments at the end of episode 5 that we've been drawing on whiteboards, writing about, and talking about years and years. So I think what players are most excited about is to finally see some of those really shocking revelations. If they're as invested in the story as we hope they are, I think they're going to be pretty blown away by some of the things that we've been holding back and are ready to finally unleash with episode 5.
I play you have not doomed us all, child.
Don't trust anybody, not even me.
The girl's infected, taking her to recalibration.
It is a secret between you and I.
They're coming. Let go.
It's my tip for anyone going to play episode 5 would be there's branching paths. There's actually more than one way to play episode 5, and there's a decision players make early on about which way they want to go. And I'm very interested to hear people's experiences of the game differ based on which choice they make.
Tell us something that we don't know about Republic.
Something that people know about Republic is it was, at least initially, heavily inspired by Japanese dating games. The original concept for Republic was inspired or born out of you having a one connection with someone in another world or in another place on the other side of a cell phone. And what that turned into when we created on it and improved on it and put cameras in the world and put a player in it and made it look more like a conventional game was something a lot more like what it looks like today. But the original vision for it was very much almost like something that you would see coming from developers of dating games in Japan.
Obviously, this was originally a game that was made for mobile. Why move it over to consoles when mobile was such a big focus for you in the beginning?
We had a prototype of Republic working on console with a controller for a very long time, for probably a couple of years before we even started development on it, on this PlayStation 4 version. And once we started noodling around with it, and we got the idea of a PlayStation 4 version of Republic in our heads, we really couldn't shake it. It was for a game, like you said, that was very much conceived for mobile first. This is a game that was clearly heavily inspired by 32-bit stealth action and survival horror games from the PlayStation 1 era. So to be able to bring back, not just on console, but on a Sony platform, was that, I think, once we really started talking about, got us really excited.
Please, stay with me. Who is this? What do they know about our Republic? There was no need for that. This one, I believe, will go quietly.
And so, because I know that initially there was a lot of talk of kind of making, real games for mobile, you know, ones that can rival consoles. And you bringing it over to the console, does that kind of show how much Republic does kind of live up to a console standard, but on a mobile device instead?
Since we launched the first episode on mobile, there have been people asking, hey, when is it coming to this platform? When is it coming to PlayStation? And it was really just a fulfillment of something that players have been clamoring for a really long time. As much as players appreciate those premium experiences on mobile, at the end of the day, what they really, really like to do is put their headphones on, sit down in front of a television, and kind of experience a long-form experience like Republic in front of a television.
And is it difficult to, if you've made a game originally on a mobile device, is it difficult to translate that to, you know, an Xbox or a PlayStation?
Well, in the case of Republic, it was extremely challenging. I mean, we basically took a conventional stealth action or survival horror type experience for console and then de-engineered it for mobile. When we decided to bring it over to PlayStation, we were basically re-engineering a de-engineered PlayStation game. So it was very interesting, challenging process to sort of kind of rethink all the things that we had thrown out the window when we brought the game over to mobile.
What was behind the decision to make it episodic? Because quite a few games are becoming episodic now, and it always gathers quite a mixed reaction. Sometimes people love it, like with The Walking Dead and the other Telltale series. But then, you know, Hitman that was just released, people haven't necessarily liked the decision to make that episodic. And I know the new Final Fantasy reboot that's coming out, that's going to be episodic as well. So was it kind of a difficult decision, or were you just like, yeah, this is definitely right for being an episodic game?
Over time, we started seeing the success, I guess, around 2011, 2012, and into 2013 that Telltale was having with their episodic games. We did some comparisons in terms of the content that we were delivering, the quality of content, the breadth and depth of it, compared to what they were releasing with each episode, and basically, you know, ripped them off. And we were really, really happy and really satisfied with the episodic model, because not only was our game well suited for it in terms of pacing and structure, the way the story unfolded kind of lent itself to an episodic feel over time, but we felt like it was something that was fair to players and that they could get behind, because there was something that they were already familiar with, because there was something very popular just like it already in the marketplace.
And do you think that you're going to make more games that will kind of initially come out on mobile, or are you going to start sticking more to console?
It's difficult to say, because the landscape of game development changes so quickly, and we're at a very, I guess, tumultuous period for game development in general. And it's tough to know where what the playing field is like. I'd say that in general, the industry, or I guess groups, developers who make, you know, the kinds of games that we do, have moved away from making kind of mobile first titles, instead put those platforms like PC and Mac, or on PlayStation and Xbox, and then kind of de-engineered them for mobile audiences. So I'm hesitant to say one way or the other, but I don't think you're going to see us shying away from things like that anytime soon.
I did see on your Twitter, though, that you had an add up to have a new level designer. So I don't know if that's, you know, you hinting that you're working on something new or...
As Republic draws to a close, we have to think very carefully about what we're going to do next. And while we're not ready to announce anything, you know, we are thinking about the future, maybe a level designer as part of that.
Paul Alexander, the PS4 project lead on Republic at Camouflage. You can get the new PS4 version out now and Episode 5 on all other platforms too. And now it's time for the gaming news.
Jamie here with your gaming news. BioWare boss Alistair McNally attended the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco last week and wore a t-shirt containing a reference to BioWare's new IP. And apparently, no one noticed. But it was only after McNally shared the detail on Twitter, saying no one even batted an eyelid, that the BioWare forums lit up and went crazy for the news. Blizzard has revealed the first 8 new cards in Hearthstone's upcoming expansion. It's called the Whispers of Old Gods. Among them are corrupted versions of classic cards, such as Loot Hoarder and Doomsayer. But possibly the biggest game changer is going to be Easter of Secrets, that's going to destroy secrets and buffs one over one for each one. Microsoft HR executive Kathleen Hogan has now released a statement obtained by CNET that says the Microsoft leadership is embarrassed and appalled. The statement follows Xbox executives apologising for what they've now called the unequivocally wrong Microsoft-held party at the Game Developers Conference, where scantily clad female dancers wearing St. Patrick's Day outfits performed at the venue. Earlier in that day, Microsoft had held an Xbox Women in Gaming event. And in the esports, Halo has had its first official World Championships, which took place in Hollywood the last weekend. 16 teams from around the world battled it out for a share of the $2.5 million prize pool. The biggest winners were Counter Logic Gaming. And Blizzard has revealed the 50th hero to enter their Nexus. It's StarCraft's Primal Zerg pack leader, Dehaka. Dehaka, the warrior hero, has a unique kit and can now burrow into any bush or vent on the map with the Brush Stalker ability. That replaces his mount and gives the hero global presence, the mobility to outsoak opponents.
From Flame Princess in Adventure Time to Melina in The Emperor's New School and Lumina in Final Fantasy, Jessica DeChico has had a long and varied voice acting career, and we were lucky enough to sit down with her at MCM Comic-Con in London to find out more.
I guess one of my most exciting ones in the beginning of my career was Melina from The Emperor's New School. I think that was a good one because it came from like a classic, you know, from a Disney feature. And then I was the only new character who was introduced to that world.
Hey, Melina.
Melina.
Good to see you.
Yeah, have a seat.
Take it down a notch, guys. So, you ready to check out our grades?
Yes, C+. I knew all that hard work would pay off. I rule.
So that was really exciting because that was my first, like, major Disney show. And then, obviously now, like, Adventure Time is such a huge show, so playing Flame Princess has been amazing and just so exciting, and it just strikes a chord with so many people.
Release him, or feel the wrath of the Princess of Flames! Very well. Do the splits, thou milk-livered maggot!
Let's see, oh, Giffany on Gravity Falls. That was just like a guest star, but for some reason, people always ask me to do that one, and it's she's just such a crazy like dating sim. She's like, "You're my boyfriend now, Suze." Ha 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 ha. That one's so much fun to do because she's psycho. I guess that's kind of a trend, isn't it? Between like Flame Princess, like they always have these crazy tempers. And then you know, I also do some other types of shows like. This Disney Junior show called Sheriff Callie's Wild West. I think that plays in the UK, but I played like this little cactus named Toby, and kids really respond to him, like the younger ones. But
he's a little pokey cowpoke, and he sounds like this.
My name is Toby. And so that one's really fun to do. And yeah, I mean, there's so many. Lumina's a good one too, from Final Fantasy.
Hope, are you there?
No. Hope can't hear you or see you. You're invisible. Do you know why? Because we're inside you. Spooky, huh?
You mean inside my mind?
Yeah, it's a safe place that God can't see. You could almost say it's like, oh, I don't know, an unseen realm.
So many great characters, but so many changes in tone. What's the difference in being a voice for a TV show and a video game?
Video games are very, like, real and kind of, they're played a little flat, which I really like. It's a different type of challenge. I mean, of course, Lumina, her character, that character was, like, not as flat as, like, Lightning, say. But it's really fun to have the, you know, as an actress, to have that challenge to go from something like Flame Princess and Adventure Time and that kind of, like, actually, that world is very natural also, but it's still, like, slightly heightened. So to go from that to, like, the Final Fantasy world, it's fun. You get to see all these different perspectives as an actress.
Jessica actually started acting on TV when she was younger, before she transitioned to doing voiceovers.
I was in New York. I grew up in New York, and I auditioned for to play the role of this four-year-old bear in Dumbo Part 2. And the casting directors were in Los Angeles. So I did the audition, you know, we sent them like an MP3, and I got a callback for it, and they hadn't seen me. So when I went in for the callback, and, you know, again, this was remote, so it was a phone patch, I was like, hi, this is Jessica, and the casting director seemed so embarrassed. He was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I think we got the wrong Jessica. I'm like, nope, that was me. I'd actually tricked Disney casting to thinking that I was actually a 4-year-old. So after that audition, he was like, look, you know, he's like, you should definitely move to LA after, you know, you're done in New York, which I did. And then it took like a year. And then I just started, you know, because animation really lives in Los Angeles. That's where it's made. And that's just, you can't be like a working animation actor without living in Los Angeles. So that's when it really happened for me, and it took off after I moved there. And it took about a year, and then I booked like 5 pilots, and I was on a bunch of shows. I'm like, okay, I guess this is what I'm meant to do. So,
one question Jessica, indeed all actors, get asked a lot is what character they relate to the most. Jessica has a couple.
I think I relate to Melina the most. And actually, do you guys know Rooster Teeth? I'm also on the show X-Ray and Vav, and I play the reporter Ash, who's like Vav's love interest. So that character I relate to also, because she's very ambitious, and she's like, she's always like, you know, getting the story and like on point. And you know, there's of course like a part of me that relates to that.
He's still being creepy. Oh my God, he's still got the knife. He's holding the knife up. He's moving towards you. He's gonna stab you. Do something, Vav. You're gonna get stabbed. Vav!
Mogar! Oh, I have so much to ask you. From where do you hail? Is your fur natural? Why are you tackling this waiter? Does the waiter care to comment?
Melina, I really liked that character just because she was very real in her responses to Cusco. Because Cusco's character is kind of a jerk. So, you know, like, Melina's responses were always very real. And I liked that because I think that's how anybody would respond. And I think that's how people would want to respond to Cusco, but she kind of had that privilege to just be candid with him and just tell exactly what was on her mind. So that was nice to be able to do that.
So you got an A-. What's the big, biggity, big, big, biggity, big, 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 biggity, big, big deal?
Who said it was a biggity, big deal? You said that! I didn't say that, and I didn't get an A-.
Whoa, take it easy.
Take it easy. Who's not taking it easy? Oh, not me, that's for sure. I am definitely taking it.
I do appreciate the gaming world, and I have my friend, actually, I'm friends with this guy, Mark Rubin, who is the, he's like the EP of Call of Duty. He's actually retired now, but I met him at this like dinner event, and I'm like, well, who better to, teach me how to play, you know, show me all the video games that are out right now? Because like, I think I, my, I stopped at like Dr. Mario on like Nintendo, but like, but he showed me like Ghosts and just a ton of other games. And so I've been, I'm really curious to learn more and to play some more.
Are you still in there, Lightning? Why are you afraid?
Huh?
Come on, think about it. We're inside your mind. Don't you get it? If you can't be true to yourself here, where can you? I know you haven't changed, because you can't.
What the hell are you?
We're just particles of dust brushed from the palm of a god. That's all we ever were.
That's all for this week. Tune in next week as we speak to the creative director at Adrift ahead of their release. See you next week.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production written and presented by Alice Taplin.